We've been studying command, what he commands us. And I want to go to the ultimate command from his standpoint. So let's go to James chapter 1. Anybody there? Start in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was, or is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, this is one of the strangest bunch of words that are in the Bible, because it defines the doer of the word as one who doesn't do anything but look. He just looks. But
he's looking away from himself, right?
Yeah, he no longer sees his face, like we've talked about many times. Everything that, even from this standpoint, but from the scriptures, everything that you look at, your first response is, how does this affect me? How can I use this? What should I do about that? Etc. Everything comes back to, essentially, everything is a mirror. And it has been since you became aware of yourself. And that mirror has to have, And the reason for that is it's called self-redemption. And you're trying in everything and every way and every person that you meet, and there's some aspect of self-redemption with regard to that. And that's why silver is always the metaphor for redemption. And it's interesting to me, and I'm sure it's no accident, that what makes a mirror, not that one, but most mirrors, is there's silver put on the back of the pane of glass, and that back of the pane of glass then causes the glass to reflect your image. It's some compound of silver. And so once you do that, then once you see your self-redemption is totally and completely rotten to the core, that it only has one goal, to keep you alone, then you look, and it's no longer, you've taken the self-redemption off the pane of glass, and now wherever you look, instead of seeing your mirror, or your face in the mirror, you look through it and see only him. Now, there's a big deal, because that's what defines a doer of the word, is one who looks into that perfect law of liberty and remains therein. Doesn't ever leave it for any reason. Is this communicating? All right.
Yeah, that's really appropriate, because man can only think in terms of performing an activity is doing.
Right, and that's why you hear, I've heard dozens of and this is one of the reasons when I used to get sick. I mean, I'd get sick to my stomach when I was trying to find a church. And what I heard many, many references to this scripture. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And then they stop there. And that means you got to go do something. But that's not what it says. It's an incredible group of words here.
Did you say self-redemption keeps you alone? Did you say
that's that? Its goal, yeah.
It also keeps you alive.
What?
Also keeps you alive.
Well, no, it keeps you dead. You died on the cross.
Self-redemption, if you're trying to redeem yourself. Then.
Well, it keeps you dead. It keeps you separated from God, which is the real definition of dead. Right. And we're going to see that in a minute. We're talking about the perfect law of liberty. All right, let's go to it's just the next chapter, chapter 2. Let's start it. Let's just start in verse 1.
Where did we go?
James chapter 2. Just in the same book, but next chapter. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth a gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that holy, that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Now that's called the royal law. Why is it called that? The test of everything about God is that scripture. All the law and the prophets hang on that. How could that be? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. It says convinced, but it's convicted. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For if he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So here's the kicker. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. How shall you be judged by the law of liberty? Now, that's what we're going to try to see here, because it is a command. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. This is the tire meeting the road in your daily walk. Everybody understand it?
It sounds like liberty is the liberty would be you're no longer in bondage to your mind.
Your mind can do nothing but lust. That's another, I shouldn't say it's the only thing, but that's the effect, the end, because it's self-improvement, self-realization, self-protection, self-judgment. So you become, your mind becomes a court of law. You have a victim, you have a transgressor, you have the district attorney, you have the judge, you have the prosecuting attorney. Your mind becomes this courtroom. It's because it is your Sanhedrin. That's why you must leave the Jerusalem that now is and live solely in the Jerusalem which is above, where the perfect law of liberty is the automatic.
And if you live without mercy, without giving mercy, then you receive no mercy.
Right. Well, that's really that's an effect of the perfect law of liberty. There will always be mercy. You'll always err on the side of mercy.
So mercy replaces judgment and righteousness. So self-righteousness.
Well, I mean, that's probably true, but it's a whole lot more too. It's this whole idea of ranking, where you rank people. And this is why it's so critical that you take no political action. I mean, you take no political thought in your mind even. Because if you will automatically rank the person that doesn't agree with you with your politics, you'll rank him less than somebody that's a good spokesman and agrees with you. You rank him more than, and so you're doing the opposite of fulfilling the law of mercy, because you have ranked, and because you rank, you can't become all things to all people. That communicate?
You're supposed to be all things to all people.
That's what it says.
We're not.
Huh? Yeah,
you've got to be all things to all people. All you are is a doormat.
Well, guess what, my dear?
We're not doormats.
You're a bond slave.
No.
That's less than a doormat.
No.
Well, I'm sorry.
God, when
Jesus washed his disciples' feet, where's the scripture that says that?
1 Corinthians 9.
It also says there is no more bond slaves or anything. So, you
have
two contradictory scriptures going here.
Well, the overwhelming scriptures. Every disciple,
All that is a reason for someone to abuse someone else and back it with scripture.
All right. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And the word servant there is doulos, bondservant, nailed to the wall. No rights.
That means
we just started here. It's one with scripture. And then I became servant to all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. You become all things to all people. You become a servant to all.
Amen.
And you become a servant as automatic as breathing when you see the mercy that has been showed you. And if you don't see the mercy that has been showed you, then God help you. And because of that, you are a servant unto all. That's the mystery of Christ. Every disciple, every in this book, they put their servanthood above their position.
What is the exact definition of mercy? I have all these words going around. Forgiveness, mercy, forgiving love? Or?
Well, the exact definition of mercy is love. Because if you love, then you will always err on the side of mercy to the person you love.
Okay, that explains the mercy seat.
But there, and you, the idea of then, you will always show mercy to the one you love. That's easy. Even the Gentiles do that. But we are called to show mercy unto all and to be a servant of all.
This is part of the mercy thing, is part of the perfect law of liberty.
Right. That's why we're gearing up to that here. All right, let's start in order for Ronnie's sake. Go to Romans 8. This is the opposite of the King's Kid theology. Well, we have to start. This was a good one. Let's start at verse 1, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And as I've told you often, there should be a period there. Because who walk after, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the definition. But some scribe added this to help explain it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Remember, sin is a person. Trespass is what you do. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, or give importance to, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be, or can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. I remember that word. It's huiothesios is the word translated as adoption. And it means placing of the fullness of the Son. So the fullness of the Son is in us. That's why we pay no attention to our senses. Anyway. The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And this is the kicker. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, this is why this mystery of God is cosmic. It's not localized. The fall altered creation. And it made now. And God's mercy tried every possible thing, from innocence all the way to the perfect law, to chosen people, to no law, to all the things that we've talked about. And then he says in Isaiah, he saw and there was no man that could fulfill this. And Moses, he tried everything. And so what happened? He said his own right arm has gotten him the victory. That own right arm is Zeruah, his own seed has gotten him the victory. That's why it is, and that is that the seeing of that and continuing to look only therein for everything is the perfect law of liberty. And it is so, there's not the slightest aspect of flesh and blood that can partake of this, because it has to be only the new creation, the new. You know, we've talked about this. Not new in time, but new in it's a totally different being than you are. So now you just become a vessel for that being. And the sanctification slowly renews your mind so that you can see and know the mind of Christ. Emptiness. And that's, this in a nutshell is a glorious liberty. But you, if you want to go back into bondage again, and you go, you can run around and use your mind. If you say you have the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ is emptied. Everything else is a carnal mind. Does that communicate?
I hear what you're saying.
All right.
I don't know if I understand it.
All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Mind of Christ is a vacuum.
1 Corinthians 10, did you say?
Yeah. Total emptiness. Let's go to verse, let's start at verse 23. Well, the first, all of the first part of it is fleeing from idolatry. But then it goes on to say in verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth, or another's, be marked. You don't seek anything for you, but you seek everything for somebody else, the others.
That says what?
Huh?
I don't understand that.
That's what that means, what it says.
Let no man seek
his own,
but every man
another's. But in other words, be totally consumed with benefiting him and not at all concerned with any what it means to you.
And that word wealth is in italics.
Yeah, wasn't
it? It's not because the numbers whatever.
Yeah, it's wealth is in italics. So should you let every man seek, no man seek his own, but another man. In other words, your whole being has lost any capacity for self-awareness and self-protection and all that other. You're only seeking for another's benefit.
Yeah, that he might complete his journey.
Right, and the whole,
which would be success.
Whatever it is. Yeah. All right, well, that's not what we're studying, though. Whatever is sold in the shambles or the marketplace, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, then you be disposed to go whatsoever set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifices unto idols, eat not, for his sake that showed it, for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, what does he mean there? You show him his idolatry. The food offered to idols. Now, we say, nobody does that anymore. Well, that's just about all everybody does.
It's the same scene here. The difference is the man tells you it's offered to idols.
Right.
Itself is not bad. It's
right.
The idolatry.
Right. You don't partake in his idolatry.
Yeah.
All right.
For his sake.
Ah, yeah.
That's great.
Conscience, verse 29. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? And this again, every time the word liberty is used here, it's talking about this perfect law of liberty. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I gave thanks or give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew nor to the Gentile nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So, again, you understand in verse 29, conscience I say not thine own, but of the other? For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Everybody understand that? The only way to understand it is let's go to the one that explains this better is Galatians 6.
Is that like enticement?
I want to show this Galatians 6.
So what they're trying to say there that he's enticing you?
Well, it's a little bit different. Go to Galatians 6. Go to Galatians 6. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Now remember, this doesn't, circumcision just doesn't mean only this cutting off of your wee-wee. It means desiring another man to change because he offends you. And watch. They constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. In other words, you want somebody You want people to behave according to your understanding. And so if you see somebody like Paul who walked in total liberty yet was servant of all, then you would obviously want him to change because he would embarrass you. Does that make sense?
This kind of gets into doing all things to please all men that he might win some. So would he then bow to some of their foolishness?
No, he's talking about in the church. This is in the church, in the Seder, if you will.
Okay.
It says, again, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, it's a big deal because it's in the Seder. It's in the community. It isn't outside the world. This is talking about what's going on. And somebody embarrasses you, so you want them to change so you won't suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. That's what that other one meant too. You understand that? The one we just read in Corinthians.
I got distracted.
All right, but and anyway, then it's gone. We should, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, do you understand? Do you see what that means? It means he's crucified unto everything in the world, but the world is... The world is crucified unto him, and then he is crucified unto the world. In other words, there is absolutely nothing about Paul that the world would admire in his presence, in his being, in his, and there's nothing that Paul esteemed that the world esteemed. There's nothing that Paul feared that the world feared. Or better mistaken, the opposite. There's nothing that the world fears that Paul didn't fear. He didn't fear. He feared nothing. There was nothing about Paul that was admirable up to the to walk to seeing, to being. That's what he's saying. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. All right, we're done. We're going to study. We just started on this law of liberty thing. Anybody confused?
I got a parable. Can't see it, but there's a bug the size of the head of a pin.
And you didn't kill it.
And I showed it mercy. Because I'm God, and this is me down here. And that's what I feel like often.
Well.
I killed a spider in the shower this morning, so I must be going to hell.
You are the devil incarnate. You're the devil.
I'm the devil.
I have a pet spider in our bathroom.
Because we have a pet brown recluse in there.
What?
Right. Pet brown.
I accidentally stepped on 3 snails in the last week, and
you're going to hell.
Hard time forgetting myself.
You're going to go to hell.
Kind of those things are all over the place. You're walking along.
They crunch.
See, do you like escargot?
I
know you like some unique things.
I do not like escargot, nor do I like calamari.
Oh,
you don't like calamari?
Oh, fried calamari. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, to me, that tastes like rubber bands.
Yeah.
It's just chewing on rubber bands.
Well, you haven't had
it. Maybe it's overcooked, I guess. But yeah. To me, overcooked or not, it's like eating rubber bands. 1 Corinthians 10, we start at verse 19. I forget what verse we started from.
Where?
1 Corinthians 10. What was the first verse?
Let me look.
We've read through 33, but
yeah.
13, was it?
Just a minute. 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
We started in verse 14. Or we should have started. But actually, we started in verse 23.
Okay.
But we should have started in verse 14.
Well,
this is about fleeing from idolatry. You know what I was trying to simplify what idolatry meant? And idolatry is simply giving importance to anything in the world, anything in time and space. Oh, well.
Time to eat. I'm hungry.
Sure had a lot of people here yesterday.
Yeah, we did.